This is Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence. Your 8:03 tee time every Sunday morning right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1300. Be a part of the show by tweeting Matthew at RealLaro5. Today's show is brought to you by French Lick Resorts, Man O' War Golf, Lexington Parks and Recreation, Play Golf Lexington, and Edwin Watts Golf. Now let's join your host, Matthew Lawrence, for Backspin Golf.
Good morning. Come on, get up. Get up, let's go. It's 8:03 Sunday morning. Come on. Is that too harsh? It should be more good morning. It's Sunday morning. That sounded like just a, never mind. Welcome, peeps. It's Backspin Golf right here, of course. I can't wait for this show today. Of course, Perry French. We'll start things off with me as he does every week. Strix on Golf, Cleveland. Zexio Golf. And then, my brother Mitchie, Mitch Lawrence from Myrtle Beach, had an incredible week this week with golf. And he'll tell us what that involves and what that means. He's pretty great, my brother Mitch. And then Luke Rose, who is the junior golf program coordinator for Lexington Parks and Rec. And this stuff is amazing that's going on for kids in our area here. You don't want to miss this. So we'll be back. We'll take just a couple minutes, and then we'll be back with Perry French. Hi, Chris Mascara. Don't forget, peeps, find Next on the Tee. Go to Podbean. It's a great show. We'll be back. It's Backspin Golf. ESPN Sports Radio, 1392.5.
Now, joining Matthew on Backspin Golf is Perry French, PGA professional and territory manager of Strixon Cleveland Golf.
Yo, 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 yo. Perry French. Yo. I'm just trying to change it up here. I can't always do Frank singing Perry French. I can't. I've changed it up.
To change it, like change the pace of your golf game a little
there
bit, right?
Go.
Change a little bit of the way you approach the game.
That's correct, you Mr. Strixon.
Some days it's a rap and some days it's a Sinatra song.
Mr. Strixon, Zexio. Those Zexio balls, man. I'm telling you.
You like them?
Cleveland Golf. By the way,
yeah.
Just real quickly, last week, Curtis Mitchell was on, our guru of all our Lexington public courses, who we're so grateful for. And I brought up the fact that April 7th, we had a Strixon Cleveland fitting session, Zexio,
right.
Fitting section session out at Lakeside Golf Course
right.
on April 7th. And Curtis actually said, I don't know if you heard it, I said, our guy Perry French will be out there. And he said, you know, let me tell you something about Perry. He said, that guy's knowledge of club fitting and wedges. I mean, it's like you paid him to talk about
it. Oh, really?
Or something.
That's nice.
Which is, I thought you should
yeah,
know.
I appreciate that.
Because
yeah. based, thanks, Curtis.
I don't ever talk about you that way. But apparently other people do.
Right.
So I thought you'd like to know.
Nice. That's okay. Good to hear. I appreciate you sharing
okay.
that bit
all
of
right.
the
yeah. Yeah.
info.
Good.
And it's all always right. good to work with the guys out at the city courses. They're all good there. Golf pros and good friends of mine,
yes.
too.
All right. Now, in this segment, we're going to talk a little about something that many people don't understand, and I'm raising my hand.
No.
And that is all the strokes gained stats and data
yeah.
and how it can help us also.
As is the minutia that it is, I found some things that might be interesting to
yeah.
us
okay.
as players to make the game seem more in tune with what is reality that we deal with and how we're measuring our own game. I think
right.
that's the thing that everybody struggles with. You know, you don't think you're improving or you're trying too hard in one and facet and feel like you're not gaining
right.
anything, and then you're frustrated. Well, frustration is not a good thing to have in your life or in game, period. The golf
correct,
game, for
on
sure.
both counts.
Yeah, and so how do you get rid of it? How do
right.
you help alleviate and feel like, hey, if you feel like you're progressing, then more than likely you are going to have a better attitude and be more relaxed
yeah.
and do things that will create more success for you.
Yes.
So I have a story to kind of lead into that.
Yeah, this is what I wanted to bring up, because we're as always, before we are go on the air, we talk and we fool around. And you said, I have a story about, said, hold it. So you have a little story that might illustrate some of this.
Well, it's pretty neat. I was fortunate enough in my golf pro days that I met a lot of significant professional players and business people, but one of my stories has to deal with Hale Irwin.
Yeah.
Hale Irwin was involved with the golf course that I was the head pro at, and he was the co-designer. He came on in the middle of the phase, but he basically came out to do the second nine and finish out and retweak some of the front nine holes or the first nine. It was right. Actually became a mix of both. Long story short, he was involved with our club for about 3 years doing some promotional while I was there doing some promotional events. So I had the privilege and duty to pick him up at the airport when he came to Houston and drive him out to the course. And then, of course, I was kind of his chauffeur for the day and a half or 2.5 days that he was in town. Did vary depending on the time of the year. So in conversation, this is in 1987, 88.
Yeah.
And Hale was playing the PGA Tour, but he was a 39, 40-year-old PGA Tour player. Struggling, like guys typically, even at that age, just because of the level of competition even
right.
then. And he was obviously a great player, U.S. Open champion twice over.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, Mr. Irwin, tell me, you know, what do you do with your time as you're preparing to play for a tournament or traveling around, you know, doing this? He was in golf course design pretty heavily at that time. And so I threw that out there. And the answer I got was, I have a yellow pad, legal pad, and as I'm sitting on the airplane or traveling around, I literally am taking notes and recapturing things that I did when I was playing winning golf.
Huh.
I said, really? He said, yeah, just the way I was approaching the game, things that I was doing successfully, how I was, and just kind of I'll use the word regurgitating, but just revisiting all those things that has made him a successful professional player. At the time, he was still a successful player.
Right,
he could play, but he just wasn't winning. He didn't put any W's in the board, and he was, you know, thinking, geez, is my career over or is
right.
it not? Well, we'll push the fast forward button, and in 1990, he pulls off one of the most amazing putts in U.S. Open history.
Yes, which we've all seen, where he went running
the 80-footer
around.
On the 18th hole at Medina, which vaults him into a tie at 40 years old. And he goes on and beats Mike Donald in a 19-hole playoff because the 18 holes weren't enough and he had to win in the 19th hole.
Correct.
The mindset to stay in and be focused to win a U.S. Open is bar none, but to do it, and it was the same year that he had just got done in April telling me this story about this. I said, wow, this is,
yellow pad thing.
This is what propelled him to play better. And we talked about this in the last episode, you using your previous rounds of golf or current rounds of golf to find a way to improve and use those things and call on those experiences.
Right.
That's what the best players in the world are still do. And it's when they go to favorite courses and they play really well. Why? They have those memories. They come back to them. Why does Freddie Couples play so well at Augusta?
Yeah.
Well, he won there. He had one of the most fortuitous things happen to any player at Augusta when the ball hangs up on the grass on 12 and he goes on but he still finished the deal and closed it.
Right.
And he's a champion there and he gets that. His mind just swells with all those wonderful memories. And
it's why I'm picking Tiger to win at Augusta this year. Even though last week we talked about Rory, I'm still picking Tiger.
And there again, those things come back. You can't put a measuring stick, and we're going to talk about measuring units
yeah.
in a second, on how that means, what much that means to a player at that level, but also think about the home course that you play on and the things that you know and
right.
expect, and you play shots with confidence because you know the shot. You don't doubt it because you know what the ball is going to do when it lands and where you need to hit it. When you're playing strange golf courses and you had it first time or you hadn't seen
it, don't have any of those memories.
Right. You end up having to rely strictly on the ability to focus on the swing shot, the swing motion, and not what the shot's going to be as a result. And we
right.
all get result-oriented. We look and we're anticipating where the ball is going to be before you even hit the shot. That's okay. You need to have visualization, but there's also some of that apprehension.
This is another one of these instances where you stare harder at me when you mention something.
Well, we all
like
struggle
that.
With that. I mean, it's,
yeah,
no, that's what
I do.
We all struggle with that. So when you overcome it, it's because you've either practiced a lot to take some of the anxiety away.
Right.
Or most of it away.
Yeah.
And your swing is such, it's confident. And your focus on that shot is just that. It's on that shot. It's where that needs to be, not on what the result's going to be.
Right.
Did Russell Knox focus on making a two on number 11 when he stood in the tee box? No. Focused on making a good tee shot. Left himself a shot that he felt confident to go towards the green with.
And
the result, the ball happened. It was perfect, and it went in the hole.
Right.
If it had gone to 3 feet and tapped in for eagle, he'd have been very happy going to the next tee box.
Absolutely.
You know, it just so. But that's the way you have to approach it. And I think we all get struggling. We talked about this last time. Building up an anxiety where you want to play good, or you've been playing good, and you expect to play well the next time, and it doesn't happen. You start getting upset, and you lose your focus.
Right.
And then the round is a waste of time.
Right. You might as well go home.
Right. Because again, if you have 4 hours allocated to go play golf, enjoy playing golf for 4 hours.
Right.
Find something that you can take as a positive. Here's some things that we can do to take a positive spin on our game of golf.
This is now
score is not everything.
Professor French's classroom. We are here.
Strokes gained putting is probably the first thing that it's easiest to explain.
Right.
Now, it's against every strokes gained stat is against the field that the players are playing in. So it's nothing. It's not a compilation. It's each round.
Right.
It's not a compilation of the year.
Right.
Of the year. It's that event specific to the players in the field on that course that day. 8 foot. That's the number we start with putting. Most players are the tour average is 50%. That players make a putt from 50.
Again, we've talked about this a million times. I'll say it. I miss an 8-footer at Kearney, and all I can think is, oh, I suck. And you're telling me the best players in the world make 50% from 8 feet.
And that's a stat. And what happens? So the strokes gain stat math is if you make a 50. All right, 8-footer, you get a half a stroke gained on the field that particular hole.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay, and if you miss it, you lose a half a stroke, again, because it's of the math.
Yes.
And so at the end of the day, you go up and down through 18 holes of putting, and each length putt has a measurement value. I'm not going to get into that. That's way too
that's
deep.
Yeah.
It's a radio show.
Yes.
And but the thing is, you can calculate, then that's how if you have five pluses and 13 negatives, you're going to lose strokes gained to the field.
Right.
To the field.
Okay.
And so it's strictly a very individual stat.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's telling how you compare to the field that day.
Right. Okay.
All right. The formula for strokes gained driving is one that it's a math formula. But here's the way it's explained. TPC Sawgrass, 18th hole, 446-yard par 4. This is Ricky Fowler playing the hole. The tour average, scoring average, or baseline on a par 4 of that length is 4.100.
Okay.
So this is a little over, slightly over par of that length. Fowler hit his tee shot on the number 18 fairway, in the fairway, 116 yards from the green, from the hole. The tour scoring average from the fairway, 116 yards from the hole, is 2.825. Bear with me. He gained 0.0275 strokes on his tee shot. Here's how. Baseline for the tee plus baseline for the second shot minus one equals strokes gained off the tee. So 4.100 minus 2.825 equals 1.275 minus one equals 0.275. That's what he gained on that particular tee shot. It's a math equation.
Oh, yeah. It's totally.
But it's all so. Because every shot is shot length measures every stinking shot that's played.
And it just goes into the computer. And it
so here's the stuff that's easy for you to apply when it gets to the golf course. Okay?
Okay.
And this is when I was kind of blown away. All right. Here are some fun facts revealed from this information on strokes gained and how it works. Okay? Average shot to the hole to hole out from the tee. From 164 yards, it takes the tour player 3.0 shots to hole out.
From 164 yards.
Yeah. Okay. 3.0.
Okay.
All right, so how do you do from 164 yards out? If you have it four times in a round, do you make three pars and a bogey? You did pretty well.
Yes.
Relative to the tour player.
Right.
Don't go beating yourself up because you made a bogey in that one shot from 164 yards out. You've driven it to 164, and you
three-putted maybe that
Yeah, you
time.
Hit the green. Again, there's what – don't beat yourself up. They're not going 2.2 on you. They're not. They're not averaging a birdie from 164 yards.
I still can't get over the 8-foot putt. They only make 50%.
So here now, how about we go to 410 yards?
Okay.
Four shots, 4.0 to hole out from 410 yards. Again, most par fours are 400 plus. Certainly at the four, but the longer it gets, the worse the score gets.
Yeah.
Right? 519 yards. Here's where this is, to me, the big advantage for the best players in the world, 4.5.
There you go.
So when I put myself at 519 yards, I can promise you I don't average 4.5.
Yes.
I'll make a lot of fives.
Right.
And I'll make an occasional four, but I'll make sixes too.
Right.
My average is probably closer to five. Tour players make birdies on par fives.
Right.
They do not give up stroke.
And when they don't win tournaments, period.
Four par fives.
Right.
So par 72, par 68 for the tour player.
Right.
That's the way that's their approach, and so use that as a kind of a neat way to think, you know, how am I approaching the green?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Approach shots to the hole out from the fairway, 7 yards from the green, 2.0 for the tour player. So from 7 yards out, they typically get up and down.
Yes.
They make it. They're 2.0 is their average.
Right.
They're very good from 7 yards.
Yes.
How about 30 yards? This is yardage where most players find themselves in that and not getting the green,
this is the hardest
missing
shot
that second
me.
Shot.
Right.
Par five, you're short 30 yards. You hit two good shots, 2.5 shots. 2.5 shots from 30 yards.
There you go.
So it's not a chip and two putts. It's a chip and a putt and a half.
Right.
And that's a big deal. And so we always get back to this, but the stats are proving it out. I just want this. We talk about short game and stuff, and this stuff lends itself to be just what it is. How about 168 yards? We're now back to that 3.0. It's the same
3.0 from 168 yards.
Yeah, it was 164. 166 is 3.0.
Right.
All right,
okay.
So the last one I have here, playing out of the rough versus out of the fairway. Would you rather hit it 210 yards down the middle of the fairway or 230 yards in the rough?
210 in the middle of the fairway.
You got it,
baby.
That's right. Okay, so here's the largest difference between rough and the fairway occurs between 120 and 190 yards. Think about where most of your tee shots are off the tee.
Right.
Somewhere between 120.
Somewhere in there.
That's where.
Okay.
This is for a tour player, but this is for where we are.
For us, right.
When scoring from the rough is on average about 0.25 strokes higher than those from the fairway. Holding out in three shots, if the first shot is an approach shot, would equate to a par. All right. So from 170 yards, 3.01. That's from the rough, 3.24. So you're losing strokes. Now, let's get up to 140 yards where you think, okay, 2.89 for the tour player from the fairway. He's making birdie from 140 yards.
Right.
A lot more than these.
Yes.
And then 3.13 from the rough.
There you go.
So players are definitely, there's an advantage to driving in the fairway, and it translates to the best players, but think about your game as well.
Right.
Okay. Distance from which players hit 75% of the greens. From the fairway at 150 yards. 75% of the greens. They hit 3 out of 4. From the rough, 47 yards.
Now, that's a huge
102-yard difference.
That's a huge difference.
So, would you rather be in the rough? We talk about this bomb and gouge route.
Right.
It's
Which people say American players do.
We saw that come back to hurt us at the Ryder Cup.
Yes.
You know, putting the ball in play out of the fairway, these guys are that good. If I give up 100 yards.
Right. If
my chances of 47
right.
yards, I was thinking, boy, 75%, 3 out of 4. A guy's got to get out on the green from 100 yards.
Right.
3 out of 4 times from the rough.
Yeah.
Not the case.
Wow.
All right. Distance from which 50% of the greens are hit. From the fairway, 202 yards. They hit the green 50% of the time from 200 yards. But from the rough, it's 148 yards. So it's
again,
a 54-yard difference. These are things that play. So look at your game. When you tee off on a short par 4, I'll say that short par 4, 350 yards.
Okay.
How do we measure it? By two shots. A 200-yard drive and a 150-yard second shot.
Right. So take your 3-wood.
200-yard.
Hit it in the fairway.
Yes. And take your chances from 100 to 150 yards.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
You pull the driver out and you hit the rough, you better hit it really close
right.
to the green.
You better bomb it up
there. And your chances are getting out. But even that, at 47 yards, it's barely making birdie.
Right.
You know, so there's some neat things. I think if we start looking at where players find themselves doing things on the golf course, if you just hit the fairway.
Yeah.
Versus the rough.
You're going to have more success.
Your chances are going to go up.
Period.
We saw that exponentially.
You are astounding, Gary French.
I'm not astounding.
In every way.
It's fun stuff that I think if our listeners can take to the golf course, And I'm using it because I'm thinking, you know what? I'm going to change how I approach being aggressive in a shot where I'm trying to recover from a shot. This is where a lot of us get in trouble. I'm going to be too aggressive here. No, guess what? I like my short game pretty well.
Yeah.
And if I think if I can get it to 30 yards,
then you have...
I got a good chance of getting it up and in and saving that par.
Right.
But if I'm going for the green with water and out of the rough,
yeah,
probably going to knock in the water, going to make double bogey, and I'm going to be kind of upset when I go to the next tee because I hit the wrong shot from the rough. Not that I made double bogey because I misplayed it, kind of like John Rahm did. I didn't. If I'd have laid up with a 7-iron instead of trying to go for the green with a 6-iron and played to the smart zone,
you
took my
chances.
You're
too good for that.
But you got to...
All right. My head is going to explode.
Okay.
Now, but that's okay. It's Sunday.
It's Sunday. And it's time for the Masters in 2 weeks?
Yes.
Wow.
We'll be live for that.
That'll be a lot of fun.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by French Lick Resort. Visit them online at FrenchLick.com.
Welcome back. This is one of the great joys of my life and still a mystery to me because... If you had told my brother Mitchie and me, well, I don't know, decades ago, that we would be sitting chatting on a golf show that I was doing, we wouldn't have believed you. Hi, Mitchie.
Hey, Matt.
Hey, Mitchie.
Hey, Matt.
Isn't that true? I mean, can you imagine if we actually had started playing golf when we were young? We'd probably be on the Champions Tour by now.
Oh, easily. We'd be on the...
Super Champions. Yeah.
Tour.
Yeah. down there in Conway. Now, Mitchie, of course, is the co-host of Talking Golf Getaways. He's an associate editor of Golf Trip Experts. And he is the king of hickories. How's that for a title?
Pretty good. I like it.
Yeah. All right.
I'm assuming my crown would be made of hickory. I just pictured it.
Nice.
Yeah.
Now I have an idea of something to get you the next time I need a present for you.
Good idea.
Although it might be hard to find someone to make. Well, if they can make golf clubs from hickory, then they can make a crown.
Yeah, I have somebody. I have somebody.
Oh, you have the person that I will get a present for you. Okay, give me his number. All right, great.
Before we roll, can I just mention?
Yeah, sure.
That, on Twitter and Instagram, it's at Golf Trip Experts, and online it's golftripx, the letter x.com.
Okay, and I'll mention that more as well, and both of those are there. It's fantastic. This whole, I don't know how you guys came up with this whole golf trip stuff, but it's a brilliant idea, not just for the content, but for the fact that you get to do all this stuff because it's your job.
Well, yeah,
I mean, seriously,
I may be old, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah, good point. All right, and speaking of these kinds of excursions and outings all over to play different golf courses and all the things you guys talk about, so you had a pretty interesting experience earlier this week, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Would you like to tell us about it?
Well, we're here talking on your golf show, so I guess I can talk about it.
All right. That's unnecessary, okay? Just
I'm going to quickly give your listeners, though, before we get to Pine Needles and Mid Pines in Pinehurst, if I may.
Yeah, sure. No, you can do whatever you'd like, Mitchie. Go.
Well, let's not go there.
Okay.
But,
all right.
Relative to golf and trips, it's been really one of the great weeks that I've had. Because last week I got to spend a couple days down in Aiken, South Carolina, right on the border of Augusta, Georgia, which you may have heard of.
Yes. Yes.
And I got to play again a place called Aiken Golf Club, which, for your listeners, if they're traveling to the Augusta area or anywhere in that part of South Carolina or Georgia, is an absolute must play.
Yeah.
It's one of the most amazing public tracks they can ever go to. Was built in 19, started in 1912, has an unbelievable history, which I won't go into here. But for, I don't know, somewhere in the neighborhood of $40, you get to play a course that was and is considered one of the true classic golf courses in the country.
Yeah.
And I heartily recommend Aiken. It's I'm on the South Carolina ratings panel, as you know.
Yes, I do.
And
know
we just presented the Aiken Golf Club with the best kept secret in all of South Carolina.
Wow.
And it's just a great story. People can go to AikenGolfClub.net if they want to read more about it. But it's an unbelievable experience. And then the next day, the next day I got to go back and play again Palmetto Golf Club. And for those of you who don't know, that's a tough one to get on. It's a private club where Kevin Kisner belongs and plays out of. They may have seen it online. But Palmetto is one of those courses that if you're into the history of the game, you flip out when you get to play it. It was in 1932 when Alistair McKenzie finished Augusta National.
Yeah.
He was asked to come over and put up a course on in Palmetto. It was already there. He was asked to do some work on it. So Alistair McKenzie got in there and went from sand greens. That was founded with four holes in 1892.
Hello.
Palmetto was. So he came over. He went from sand greens to grass and lengthened the golf course.
All right. Now, wait. What do you mean sand greens? Explain that.
Well, you know about the fact that before there was grass, golf was played sand greens. You putted on sand greens.
Yeah, a mixture of grass and sand.
But it was mostly sand.
Right.
And they used to oil it so that it would stay kind of puttable.
Okay.
But he was brought over in 32 because he was there having built Augusta to go move it completely to sand. So most of those green designs that are still there today, and they are literally Augusta National. They are by far the hardest greens I've ever putted on. You can be standing over a 2-foot putt and have no idea which way it's breaking. None. That's how subtle the movement is. And the mounding of the greens is Augusta. It's the hardest areas to chip and pitch and try to putt over, but it's fantastic.
I mean,
you want to talk about being engaged. But the other, just to wrap that up, the other people who've had their hand on that golf course over the years, Reese Jones came in and did a bunch of work. Tom Doak came in and did a bunch of work. And the resident architect now at Palmetto Golf Club is Gil Hance.
Yes. Who?
So you've got a place that a lot of people, and again, I'm lucky enough through you and my mutual friend, John Patrick, and his great friend,
Augusta Golf Show. John Patrick, yes.
And his great friend, Mike, who's a member at Palmetto and was kind enough to get us on there again. But anyway, I got to experience those two courses back-to-back last week. And then this week, I was invited to go to the preview day for the U.S. Senior Women's Open, which will be held in May at Pine Needles in Southern Pines.
Right.
And that place, the history there is just silly. Donald Ross built that golf course. And, you know, they've had, it's the only course in America to be awarded four U.S. Women's Opens. And that was 1996, 2001, 2007, and a pretty good list of champions, Annika, Kari Webb, and Christy Kerr.
Nah, all right, fair.
Yeah. They're going back to Pine Needles in 2022 for the Women's Open. But the, as your listeners know, because you are such a font of knowledge.
I am.
And information sharing.
Yes.
As they already know, last year was the inaugural U.S. Senior Women's Open.
And where was it?
It was at the Chicago Golf Club.
Uh-huh.
Charles Blair McDonald's famous Chicago Golf Club.
Yes.
And was won by none other than Dame Laura Davies.
Correct. Who is one of our, all of our, those of us involved and watching golf, one of our favorite human beings anywhere. Anywhere.
True. She won last year's Senior Women's Open by 10 shots.
Yes.
So she was invited to preview day because they did a lot of PR and they filmed a lot of stuff they're going to be using. And
right.
And then my great partner at Golf Trip Experts, Golf Trip X, Ryan Ballengee from Golf News Net,
who is our listeners are familiar with because he appears on our show frequently. Yes.
Good. So Bash brother Ryan Ballengee and I both got to go to preview day, and I got a text that didn't make too much sense, and then I got a voicemail message from him over the weekend.
Yeah.
And he said, I have to tell you this because I'm so excited I have to leave it on a voicemail. But somehow, and we're still not sure how, we found out that we were going to be playing with Laura Davies at Pine Needle.
Oh.
So I was pretty excited.
Yeah.
And then I got to Pine Needles, and I drive in the parking lot, and the guy comes to get my golf clubs, and he asked me my name, and I said, Mitch Lawrence. And he went, oh, you're Mitch Lawrence. He said, you're riding with Laura Davies.
You know, I have to stop you for a second. You sent me a picture of, as we all know, when you play in certain events, when you get in the cart, there's a, where the scorecards are kept on the steering wheel, there is a piece of paper there in calligraphy that says, Laura Davies, Mitch Lawrence, on it.
Correct.
Framed, I hope, by now.
Well, I didn't take it.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay.
just the experience of it was what I'll keep.
Yes.
You know, I can frame that and have it on the wall, but...
Yeah. Okay, I get it. All right. Okay.
But anyway, so I don't know how it happened. I was in the car, the first car out with her, and... I mean, I got in the car and she was driving. And I said, call me crazy. Oh, sorry.
That's all right.
Sorry. Well, we'll let it ring.
Yeah.
This is life and we're on your show.
Yeah, that's right.
It's probably Dame Laura.
I was going to, that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
But anyway, I got in the car and I said, call me crazy, but I'm pretty sure that given that you're a dame and not in the 1920s sense.
No,
that
a
you're
true
a
dame.
And
yeah.
And I'm Mitch Lawrence, that I should be driving it. And she looked at me and she said, get real. That was the first thing she said. And I knew it was going to be a fun day. Actually, my lovely wife, Ava, had played with Laura Davies in an LPGA skins game a couple of decades ago.
Yeah.
And she said to me, you'll have more fun than ever, which I knew, and which I did. She is... As we all think, just by watching her, she is the most down-to-earth,
yes,
fantastic person. Just completely humble. There's no pretense about her. She is just literally someone you would love to hang out with.
Yeah.
Either playing golf, sitting in a bar, watching a soccer/football match.
Mm-hmm.
She's a huge, huge fan. As a matter of fact, one of my favorite stories, I hope we have time for this.
We've got a couple of minutes. Yep.
One of my favorite stories happened when she was playing in the Evian Championship before it was a major. I think it was 96. And she's such a big fan. She's a Liverpool fan. But there was a championship match between England and Spain on during the final round of the Evian Championship. And her caddy got hold of a small portable TV, which they watched during the final round, which she went on to win. And she was subsequently fined by the tour for conduct unbecoming a professional.
Oh, whatever.
And she said, trust me, I would do it again in a heartbeat.
Oh, yeah. No, that's...
But she was great. And to watch, she's 55 years old now, obviously kills it.
Yeah.
And one of my great joys as a hickory player was her falling in love with my hickories.
Well, I saw... video you sent to me of her hitting your driver on one of the holes, and man.
Well, she did it. She hit the driver 6 or 7 times. She carried it 250, which is just stupid. But she hit 3 or 4 other clubs in my bag, and
yeah.
she just absolutely loved it, and I loved that connection that she had. And all in all, being at Pine Needles, we went across the street, Ryan and I, yesterday morning and played Mid-Pines.
Nice.
And
yeah.
If your listeners get a chance to go over there, and they're public tracks,
yeah,
and they are far below the price of courses that are twice as expensive around the country, and just an absolute joy. Donald Ross, restored by Kyle Franz, keep that name in mind. I'm telling you. A young guy who started with Tom Doak at Pacific Dunes.
Yeah.
Worked for Corin Crenshaw, helped build Gil Hans's course in Rio for the Olympics. And he restored, he's a young guy, he's 38 now.
Wow.
But at 18, he decided he wanted to intern, so he interned for Tom Doak at Pacific Dunes and Bandon.
Huh.
At 18. And these two courses, the restoration he did on these two courses is just off the charts, beautiful. So if your listeners get a chance to go to Pine Needles and Mid Pines, obviously there's tons of great golf and history in Pinehurst, but I would absolutely include them on any itinerary that they go on.
Yeah, we've always said that, having lived in North Carolina and being able to play Pinehurst a number of times. The courses around there, other than Pinehurst, are, you know, as you said, sublime is the word I would use.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, you know, we got to know Laura Davies from covering our French Lick tournaments with the senior LPGA the last 2 years or 3 years. And I was so excited that you got a chance to, you know, I walked a couple of holes with her, but to be able to ride around with her and play with golf with her is just phenomenal. So,
yeah, very lucky.
And you and I'll you'll be on again. We'll talk about some of this, these golf trips, and I'm very excited. I think I'm going to see you at one in August. Is that correct? Streams, huh?
That is correct. Sweetens Cove.
Sweetens Cove. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And also, I'll quickly mention, if your listeners want to get in on that.
Yeah.
Because we have Golf Trip X, the experts, Darren Bunch, my podcast partner, and Ryan, and Eric Hart, our writer, and Brian Orr, our photographer. This trip to Sweetens Cove, and your listeners have to go online and look at Sweetens if they haven't. Just Google Sweetens Cove. It's a nine-hole track that's exquisite. And we have rented the golf course for 2 days. We have it all to ourselves.
Oh, baby.
And it's a listener's trip. So if anybody wants to join up, it's filling up fast, even though it's August. So if they want to get in on it, go to golftripx.com, and you can find out the information.
And I'll obviously keep talking about this as we go. Thanks so much for joining us. It's a pleasure to talk to you, as always.
Hey, thanks for having me, Matt. You're such a great host. I really appreciate the time.
Tell Louie I said hi. See ya.
I will.
Bye. Hello.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Lexington Parks and Recreation. Book your tee time at one of their five public courses at lexingtonky.gov. Play golf, Lexington.
Welcome back. I'm really excited to talk to Luke Gross, because the golf fate of our children is in his impressive hands. How was that, Sean? Pretty good. Hey, Luke Rose.
Hey, how are you, Matthew?
I'm good. Thanks. Mr. Junior Golf Program Coordinator for Lexington Parks and Rec. I mean, that's a big title.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I'm very excited.
Tell us a little bit about how you get to do that. Tell us about your background with golf for a minute.
Sure. Yeah, there's not a lot of people that get to love their job as much as I do. I get to come to work every day and teach golf and kind of get to grow the game. And you know, we all know as golfers that it's more than just about the game. So
yeah.
It's pretty rewarding. As far as my background, I'm a local kid. I played my high school golf at East Jesmond, and then actually played my college golf at Asbury, and then went on to coach the boys at West for 5 years. So I'm homegrown, and you know, after graduating from Asbury, I got in the PGA program and kind of started working at some private clubs in the area, and realized that my passion was certainly in junior golf, and being able to kind of be that mentor and, you know, help those kids come along.
Yeah, it's an amazing thing. We have many friends on the show from different parts of the country, and actually from different countries, who work with junior golf. And it's one of my favorite things about golf and what it can mean to a child growing up. I was 31 when I learned to play golf, and it's one of my biggest regrets that I didn't start when I was younger, because I would have been a lot better, I think. I think I would have been. I'm not sure, but I think.
Sure. I think we all, you know, all of us that did start a little bit younger have those memories of those people that impacted us.
Yeah.
And I think when you look back to what means the most and who's the most knowledgeable or who gave you the best tip, you know, I think you're going to look back to that person that cared about your game and you as a person more than anything that you can pull out of a book or instruction video. So.
Right. Yeah, no, it's a fantastic thing. And all right, let's talk a little bit. I know we had Curtis Mitchell was on with me last week. He's a real good friend. We talked about some of the other things. There's a lot of stuff going on with Lexington Parks and Rec and our great golf courses here. Tell us a little bit about what you're working with on the junior side. And let's start with camps. What's going on with some camps here?
Sure. Well, I'll tell you, I'll start with, so the whole reason that we're getting to do this and we have this opportunity is the Gilbert Bunnell Foundation is a foundation for junior golf and local that's been around for years and years, and used to be called the Larry Gilbert Tour.
Right.
So when I was a kid, I had the opportunity to play, you know, several seasons on that junior tour, and, you know, it was a really big impact for me, and I was that ideal kid that they're after, which is that, you know, kid that's just coming up on trying to learn how to play competitive golf and, you know, maybe not ready for the high school scene, or maybe is, and just trying to get those reps in, experience, mm-hmm. and the fun environment. It's a great junior tour. So what we've done is we've partnered with them, and Parks and Rec will be providing all the programming now. Which is the whole reason that I'm able to be here now. So we're very thankful for that. And, you know, so we're going to be bringing back the junior tour this summer. And then all of our programming will be kind of in partnership and with them. And it'll kind of be like Gilbert Bunnell Junior Golf Camp, Gilbert Bunnell Junior Golf Saturdays. So we've got a lot of things that are coming. And it's all provided. All the programming is able to happen because the people that are, you know, reaching out and giving money to that organization and being able to, you know, provide these outlets for every kid to play golf, and
right.
not just the ones that have, you know, all the resources already. Mm-hmm. So we're excited about having that platform, but the camps are going to be amazing. They're going to be more about fun. They're Monday, Friday, 9 to 4. And, you know, in the morning we're going to have some different stations where we'll work on golf skill. We'll have lunch. In the afternoon we might swim. We might play foot golf or ultimate frisbee, work on some athletic development. I'm TPI certified as well, which is a golf fitness thing. So we're big believers in that. Curtis is as well.
Yeah.
Both US is certified too. So, you know, we're really happy to be able to have all those things. And then at the end of that camp day, we're going to wrap up and play maybe 9 holes. So we're really excited about camps.
Let me ask you this. What's the age range of kids for these camps?
Camps typically going to be about 7 to 14, 7 to 15.
Yeah, okay. So I'm out. I can't come to one of these camps, basically.
Yeah, probably not.
I'm a little upset about this, Luke, okay? I'm a little upset. All right.
We'll see if we can get you in one of our adult clinics.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm past the senior stage, pal. I appreciate the adult thing, but all right. Now, Junior Golf Saturdays, these are all wrapped up in this PGA Junior League. It's all basically under one umbrella, and it's going to be different things going on. Is that right?
Sure. All of our programming is going to be, you know, under that one umbrella, and it's all going to be, you know, me. And I'm going to be out there with all of these programs. And, you know, like you mentioned, we're going to have a PGA Junior League, which is a nationwide event. It's a great scramble format for kids that are learning how to get in the game.
Uh-huh.
Again, that 7 to 13 age. It's capped at 13. There's a 13U team, and then there's a 17U team, or 16U team, sorry.
Yeah.
For PGA Junior League. And then those kids kind of graduate on to, like, the Gilbert Bunnell Tour and high school golf and things like that. So that's kind of the progression there. As far as Junior Golf Saturday goes, we're excited about that. Every other Saturday, we're going to alternate between Kearney Hill and Lakeside.
Wow.
We'll have a $10 clinic for your junior golfer Saturday morning, rain or shine, and then you'll get a voucher for your junior to play a free round after 3 p.m. as well.
And all for that's for a $10 fee?
$10, 45 that's... minutes of instruction, and then your junior will get a pass to play free 9 holes.
It's just incredible. I'm just sitting here listening to you talk about all these things and how blessed we are not only to have you in charge of this, but to have this available to our kids is just fantastic. What I'd like to do, if I could, is as we go through the spring and the summer and into the fall, we'll keep checking back in with you and find out how things are going. And I certainly will continue to talk about this because, you know, I'm a big Lexington Parks and Rec guy, and you and Curtis and everybody else is just fantastic. So thanks.
We appreciate that. It's a partnership, and we want to grow the game. And, you know, we're very thankful as well to have this platform. And I'm, you know, very, very excited to be here and have this opportunity. So we will stay in touch for sure.
Okay. Thanks, man. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Have a good one.
Luke Rose. Pretty good. He's got to be a young guy, Sean, because I'm just picturing he's going to be at all these different courses and running all this stuff, and I'm exhausted, and he's obviously got a lot of energy. So, all right, that'll do it for us. We'll be back next Sunday morning. It's just great. I'm very lucky to be able to do this show and talk to the people that I do. Thanks, of course, to our sponsors, Lexington Parks and Rec. French Lick Resort, Edwin Watts Golf, and Carroll and Stone Insurance Services. My guys over there. What's up, Michael Cunningham? And my guys and gals over at Carroll and Stone. They're my insurance agency. That's correct. All right, we'll see you all next week. It's Backspin Golf right here on ESPN Sports Radio 1392.5.
Backspin Golf with Matthew Lawrence is sponsored by Edwin Watts Golf.